Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media and just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them.
Philip. Shalom, all of our friends out there. Listen, I want to talk about something. You get before we get into something?
Yeah.
These young Marines that have been urinating on these Taliban fighters.
Mm-hmm.
I was making such a big deal out of this, and I'm thinking, how come no one's talking about the fact that, well, what they're saying is, it's despicable that 18, 19-year-old kids are urinating on dead bodies.
Right.
How come no one's saying that it's despicable that 18 and 19-year-old boys are killing people?
Yeah.
Why aren't we even, should that be the major issue?
Yeah.
Now, these Taliban fighters, they're dead. All right. These young kids, they peed on. They're just a little stupidity, but we don't even care about the fact that we're sending people who have never killed anybody overseas, and now they're killing people, and we're acting like it's normal.
Yeah.
Well, remember what happened after Vietnam. All those normal kids came back messed up.
Mm-hmm.
And now if we're talking about that, we know these killings are going on. Where are these kids? Are these kids going to get a job at Walmart when they get back?
I have no idea.
Do you think they're going to send them over to Kmart? Do you think they're going to go to Sam's Club? Where are we going to put these kids to work, boys and girls, when basically they're, what'd you do for a living? Well, I kill people, I urinate on them. I don't know. They're making a big deal about urinating, and I don't think that's the issue. Is I'm worried about, we're killing people left and right, and we're going to send those people home and say, don't do that anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
How do you change that, you know?
Yeah, there's no way you can.
Well, but some of the vets that are listening later on might call in and talk about how they feel about that.
Yeah. It's like, you know, that thing I showed you earlier about the petition. This was Senate Bill. House of Representatives, Bill, they passed...
that kind of ties in, yeah, good.
Yeah, House Resolution 111. And what this bill is, or why this is important, is because our troops should never be forgotten, including the ones that are prisoners of war or missing in action. They need to be found and brought home, and House Resolution 111 would establish a committee for the specific purpose of accomplishing this goal. But right now it sits in a committee, and there has been there for almost a year. If it isn't put through before this congressional committee is over, it will be taken out of commission and have to be reintroduced during the next congressional committee. Our men and women that are missing or prisoners and their families shouldn't be made to suffer longer than necessary. This bill needs to pass now so the committee can get formed and get busy finding and bringing home people that have given us given us the freedoms we now have.
I think we're really asking is we're telling these people that these families want to put to rest. They want to acknowledge the fact that their sons and daughters gave their lives for their country, but yet they don't know. We don't have a burial plot for them. We don't have anything. We don't even know where they are. Are there anybody over there that's being held captive? Yes, of course there are.
Yeah. I mean,
we can assume that Korea, beautiful name, we can say that Korea, well, that's getting a little too old. Vietnam, there may be a few that's getting too old. But the rest of these people, we're missing people that have not come home.
Right.
And why? So, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the government, I keep reading about, every time I turn around, they're finding more problems with the cemeteries.
Yeah.
Headstones missing, bodies in the wrong place. I don't know. I remember right after World War II, Iwo Jima and a bunch of those islands, they didn't bring all those bodies home.
No. And the information about that bill, I put it up in the...
Oh, good. I want everybody to kind of catch
what
that.
What I'll do is...
I love some vets talking about their feel about that. I mean, Phil, how would you like it if your brother didn't come home, you came home. What guilt you'd have, you know?
Yeah. Like, what do you do? Where do you go?
And where do the families get any help?
Yeah.
Your son or daughter gave his life, that's it, bang, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't just... You just don't give him a cold message like that.
Yeah.
And yet in basic training, when you and I went in, we were civilians one day, we went to basic training, prepared us to be military, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in my case, and one day they said, okay, you're no longer in the military, you're a civilian. Bam, so we're back out in the street again.
Yeah, you know, they kind of like, I went to a one-day class, now they go to school for a week.
Wow.
They go to school to transition them.
Yeah, well, that's important.
And all that is to show you how you're going to get fucked.
Well, in my case, you know, is that Nora out there tonight?
Yeah.
Is Nora out listening? Nora, hi.
Hi, Phil. How are you?
I'm okay tonight. Had a long day at the office. Well, I play with motorcycles. Can't be too long a day. But I do paperwork and all that. So with you?
Everything is fine. Thank you for asking. Okay. It's just a cold, gloomy day. Well, not that cold, but a gloomy day in Illinois here.
Yeah, she talked to me earlier. I told her it was 76 and sunny on the coast. And
I called him a brat.
I just bought a 1980 shovelhead in Illinois. I don't know where the heck it is right now. They're shipping it out to us. A fully restored original pizza box. Everything on original. Guys, happen. I like buying the older bikes now and then. They told me the bike was picked up today. I hope that's not a lie. Truckers sometime embellish with them.
Mm-hmm.
Philip and I have a funeral to go this weekend.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
We're
going
to go up to Mount Soledad and say goodbye to a friend of ours, John Del Santo. He was one of our... he was an interesting type of a guy because he supported Yamaha, Kawasaki, Suzuki, Harley-Davidson. He cared about motorcycle people. He cared about all motorcycles.
Yeah, he didn't care about
ego.
What you rode as long as you were riding.
No ego at all, you know?
Yeah. As long as you were riding.
I'm sorry, folks. Yes, I've caught my throat here tonight. So anyway, we're going to go up there. We won't go away. But after the funeral services and all that, we're going to, we haven't really sure. The American Legion post down in San Diego wants to go down there for drinks. Or we've been asked to do that chili cook-off.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm kind of thinking...
Chili cook-off.
Yeah, because every time I go to American Legion Post, those guys sit around and tell tall stories.
Well, they also sit there and get drunk. And
they
get
do
worse.
Get drunk.
Then they start challenging each other to fight.
Yeah, I like to leave before they get too bad off. I don't want them to knock my bike over. But anyway, after that, we're going to do a chili cook-off, and then actually, that's it for the rest of the weekend for Philip and I. Usually, we got to do two events, which we split up, but this weekend, we're all together.
Yeah. But to get back to that bill, it's a House resolution to establish a committee dedicated to American soldiers, prisoner of war, and these soldiers missing in action, and those soldiers missing in action. Excuse me.
I got my cough. We're doing good now.
And specifically, it's something in the air today. Specifically, it might be from the Santa Ana. blowing all that shit off the
science
base.
Problems anyway, yeah.
Yeah. Specifically, this select committee's mission.
Now you're yawning too? Jesus, come on. You got the program here. We got a 2-hour show. We're kicking the bucket. We haven't gotten anywhere.
Anyway.
Select committee's mission. Go ahead, sir.
To conduct a full investigation of unresolved matters relating to any United States personnel unaccounted for from the Vietnam era, the Korean conflict, World War II, Cold War missions, Persian Gulf War, Operation Iraqi Freedom, Enduring Freedom, including MIAs and POWs missing and captured, missed by Congressman Bill Posey. The latest title is Establishing a Select Committee on POW and MMA Affairs. It was introduced on 2/28/11, so it's been over a year, Bill.
You know, my father told me that we're all military family. He did some stuff in Africa, and he told me he was in Dominican Republic. And I said, well, wait a minute, I didn't know we had a problem with Dominican Republic. He said, America has no idea how many countries we stick our noses in.
Oh, yeah.
Let me ask you, if you had a son or daughter and they were missing...
How many countries do you think I was in the time I was in? I was all over the place.
Well, yeah, but the American public doesn't know about that. That's what I'm saying, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And even they would tell us that we were supposed to say where we're from and all that crap and where we're at. That's all crazy stuff. But Nora, back to you for a second, please. So if you had a son or daughter overseas and they were missing, you need some closure, don't you? You need to know something. And yet many people, they don't know to this day where their son or daughters or husbands are.
I would be fighting to find the answers one way or another. You have to.
Yeah.
You have to put an end to it.
Exactly. But, you know.
Because the waiting itself would just be horrendous and very detrimental, you know, of not knowing, waking up every day, wondering.
As much as I believe it's just tough on the men, I believe because of maternal instinct and the women not knowing if the son or daughter was missing. I think it is harder. I really do. Or men, women, maybe we just hide it better.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want you to know how I feel, Philip, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I tell Nora how I feel. It's different, you know. In fact, I don't like you that much, really. You know that, don't you?
Yeah, okay, it's
good.
Okay.
Nora seems much nicer person than that. Nora, what did you have for dinner tonight?
Oh, I had leftover pizza.
Pizza? Gosh.
Chicago-style pizza.
Chicago. Philip's hometown area, huh?
Yeah.
Yes. I'm not far from his family. Yeah, I'm 8 minutes away.
Do you ever go home again, or have they got that restraining order against you?
No, I go home.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if the family had that ongoing restraining order against you around Chicago. Okay.
Yeah. All their love.
I told you, a friend of mine from Paladine was out here a couple weeks ago. She went back to Chicago. I wish she went back to Paladine.
Yeah.
It was a nice neighborhood she stayed in, by the way. What did you point out to me a second ago and we got lost there?
No, right here. I want you to read this right here. I just put it up in the chat to contact your congressional rep in Washington, D.C. Go to contact Congress and send an email or ask to speak to his or her veterans aide. But I want you to read this from this guy, Bill.
You almost read the whole damn thing now. What am I getting involved now for?
Because I want you to read what this guy says
because he was in the Army. Your voice is so much better, Bill.
Thank you. As a former staff sergeant in the United States Army, he and every soldier/marine signed a blank check payable to the United States government in the amount of up to and including our life. However, we never agreed to be abandoned by our government. We, the American people, owe our POW/MIAs and their families the respect and dedication to hold our government responsible for bringing all POW/MIAs home, alive or dead. They should be found and returned home to their families. This man says truly dedicated to this. He wants to be able to contact your U.S. congressman, representative, and Philip said blah, 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 blah. Ask your congressman representative to sign on as a co-sponsor to HRES-111. This resolution, if passed, will form a Senate subcommittee to get our POW/MIAs home, and most important of all, bring closure to the families. I have got many of my friends who didn't, especially in the Vietnam era, didn't come home, and it was very hard for their families. I remember that coming home.
Absolutely. I mean, my cousin got married on a Friday and got killed on the following Tuesday. Came home for the weekend, got married, and he got killed the day he got back.
My father told me, and this is going way back in the day, before they were flipping people by airplanes over to Vietnam, they were sending them by boat. My father was telling me, as he was on the boat getting off, one of the very first people to step onto the Vietnam land, a cargo net broke overhead and landed and killed his troop. My father said that was his first impression of Vietnam, getting off the boat and the cargo net breaking and killing some soldier. You go all that way to meet your fate. But again, if that's where you're supposed to be in life,
that's where you're supposed to be.
There's no reason to hide out.
No.
Then don't be afraid of anything. Wherever you're supposed to be, you're supposed to be.
Exactly.
I know that when I know we got this cold, both of us. You might be that sinus.
No,
I know when I got drafted.
It's from the Santa Ana today.
Okay, when I got drafted, I told my parents where I was going. I never told anybody else. So I just left. I didn't see any reason. I didn't know what to say to anybody, so the hell with it. Anyway, when I came home, the stories about me were fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
He died in Vietnam. He died in a shootout in New York City. I have no idea. I went to CNA to New York City. He joined this bike club. He joined that bike club. He murdered this person. He's in prison for life. And lo and behold, when I showed up after my tour, everybody was like shocked. So much misinformation was passed around.
Yeah. I had the same thing happen to me. My dad had a heart attack while he was driving and got killed. And people said, oh, yeah, it was me.
Yeah. I did tell you that my second year in the military, they killed me, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you real quick, everybody. I didn't get paid my second year. And I went down, I talked to them, and they said, well, we're going to find out what happened. And then afterwards, they said, Fort Campbell, Kentucky is where the military pay records are. They said, we've killed you. And I said, all right. We will pay you in 3 months. That's how much time it's going to take. So I figured, well, I'll leave and I'll come back later, because if I'm not getting paid, why do I got to be there?
Mm-hmm.
The military told me whether or not I get paid is irrelevant. I'm in the military. So the American Red Cross came in and they gave me half a paycheck for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And on the fourth month, the government undebted me and they paid me all my money. So I went to the American Red Cross and I gave them their back pay and all. So I appreciated all that. But when it came time for me to re-up and they wanted me to stay in, I said, well, you've already killed me. I think it's time for me to try something else in my life. So I came back quite a surprise to a lot of people. When my friends all came back from the Vietnam era conflict, we were able to deal with most of us. One buddy lost a leg, an arm, shrapnel, blah, blah, blah. But I'm going to tell you right now, guys, what was hard for us to deal with was our friend who lives in 12 miles down from here, a little town called Lacadia. He came back blind. And in the beginning, all of us vets and all that, we'd all come together and we'd play Braille polka.
Mm-hmm.
It was Braille polka. We would try to do things together, but over the course of the years, we all drifted apart. And I thought that out of all the things that could have happened to me, being blind would have been the toughest one for me. Stronger people can live up to it and all that, but that was one of my fears, that I'd come back blind with that. And as it is, you know, except for being slightly crazy, I'm healthy as a horse, you know. Even my father came back with Agent Orange, so crazy stuff going on.
Yeah. It's like, what do you do?
You don't whine, you get up and do it. Put one foot in front of the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Nor did you buy the pizza or did you hand make the pizza?
Bought it.
You bought it, okay. I'm just trying to picture you in the kitchen making pizza.
I'm a cooker, I'm a baker, but not when it comes to the pizza. It has to come from certain places out here that's just wonderful.
Outstanding.
True, Bill.
We know it's in Chicago.
You gotta get it right from the Italians. They do it.
When I was out in Chicago last time, they took me every night to a different part of Chicago. We ate Greek food, Italian food,
mm-hmm.
every night. And that Chicago, they got a place to eat back there.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the Greeks, the opa throwing the glass against the wall. It was kind of cool.
Yeah, it's like, you know. Oh, did they take you over there on Halstead? Recon?
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, for whatever reason, there's a Schindel elevator program over there. And one of my friends or relatives was a big cheese in that, so they showed me the elevators. So I learned how to hit the buttons, so if the elevator gets jammed, I can take them apart from the inside. That was kind of fun. I'm not a great builder. I like to tear things apart, though. I'm pretty good with that.
Yeah, it's like
work.
Yeah, there's a lot of things over there.
Nora, I got to tell you that I have my chaps with me, and they've been strapped in the bike now for 2 months. And what I'm waiting for is when I get up in the morning and go, and when I see my breath, I'm going to put my chaps on. So far this winter, I've not put them on yet. I got them in case it gets worse, but I'm going to tell you, that's how tough it is going to work. And Screwdriver, he's got it so freaking easy. See, I have to go to work around 9, 10 in the morning. Oh, my God, it's cold. What time do you go to work in the morning?
3:30.
3:30 in the morning. Everybody knows at 3:30 in the morning it's warm. I'm at 9:10 in the morning. It's freaking cold, for God's sakes. How long have you been going to
17 years.
17 years.
Mhm.
Wow.
He's a sick puppy, isn't he?
Just dedication.
Well, he has a lot of medication in him, yeah.
No, dedication.
Heard what you said.
I'm not medicated. Is that okay for me to still be here? No.
We need you to be relaxed.
I know.
And comfortable.
Yeah.
I am.
What's going on in your world today?
Mine?
She said nothing.
Yeah. Nothing?
Weren't you paying any bit of attention to what she said? I listen to what she says. Why weren't you paying attention? What he told us. Isn't he aggravating to be around?
I've never been around him, but talking to him, it is funny. Sorry, not in a bad way.
He's irritating to me.
You're right next to him.
Nah, I've been next to him for too many years.
All that
long. You wouldn't take those years back. It's your turn.
No, I do want to share this with you because I was a little incident happened a while ago, and it was tremendous amount of numbers of people, and Philip just came right through the crowd, stood right by my side there. Actually, they would have wiped us up. It's not the point. I wasn't going to move an inch, and he came through the crowd to back me up, and it was still 2-1 to one side like 35. So it was a hell of a lot. It was crazy. But you know what? In the past, we've had some problems with some clubs. He's never backed down once. He does a lot of talking on the show, but I'm going to tell you, it's my mouth that gets us in trouble. I would step aside for you, Nora. I would step aside for you and your husband, you and your grandmother, but I would not step aside if you pushed me.
No.
And that's the problem I get. And, you know, it's just never going to happen in my life. And we've had some crazy numbers, but Philip has never been aggressive. He never picks on anybody weaker. But I am going to say right now in the air that I cannot begin to tell you how many adventures we've had, which we were so radically outnumbered, he never backed down once.
Right.
He's not that good a fighter, though, actually. I hope he gets better in the future. But other than that, he's okay, you know?
Yeah. Sorry about that.
About what?
Oh, he's pointing something out to me. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
I can't.
Oh, he's actually pointing. Somebody's supposed to send a message to me from a friend of ours, and
somebody's getting married.
If somebody's getting married, isn't that nice?
Yeah.
And he's married a nice girl too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very nice girl.
See, people give him messages because I am from the dinosaur era. I don't pay attention to anything. I believe Nora. If you have a message, please pick the phone up and just call me. No.
That's what I did.
Thank
That's
you. People
did.
Email him, they text him, they fax him. I don't care about any of that crap. I want to hear your voice. If it's
okay.
A sad message, I want to hear it. If it's a happy message, I want to hear your voice. But he gets these messages all day long from people. That's not my lifestyle.
Well, no, but, I mean, unfortunately for us, being old school, the electronic age has come into play, and we can't shy away from it. It's there, you know.
No, I'm not. I'm absolutely agree with you on this. I'm just saying that.
Wait. Tell her the truth, Bill. All this right here is from the devil. Tell her the truth.
Nora, please, you have to understand this. Every moment you're on the cell phone, every time you get near the computer, the devil is sucking a little more of your life out. He's taking control of your soul. This computer stuff, this is not from Area 51. This is not from outer space. This is the devil. I'm telling you right now, the devil is going to take over your soul. That's why the kids today aren't out playing baseball games or anything. They're playing video games. I'm telling everybody, mark my words. And also the young kids.
Yeah, but you have to understand something, okay? I was born in the 60s. So they didn't have cell phones, they didn't have the games or anything like that. So we had no choice but to go out and play basketball, baseball, football, whatever the case was. You were out in the park playing, okay? And kids today, I agree with you 100%. It's all electronics. And they look at me like, you want to play? I have no idea what I'm doing. You know? It's not like it used to be where you want to talk to somebody, you just pick up the phone and call. You know, it's all online. Hey, how you doing? You know, it's not personal.
Oh, it's a different style. Stacy, is that you out there also? I'm hearing Stacy, you out there too?
What's going on?
Laura
Hi,
over
Stacey.
Here.
I can't find the damn chat room, man. It's not popping
up. Oh, you
got to
scroll down.
I did scroll down. I went down and down and down until I couldn't touch the ground, I guess. I don't freaking know, but no, there ain't no damn chat room. So how's everybody doing this evening?
You know, we're just talking about the POW-MI issue. When I, Mike, earlier I mentioned about the fact that we had these young Marines that were urinating on these Talibans, and my concern is no one's talking about these 18, 19-year-old Marines urinating on Taliban. But what about these 18, 19-year-old Marines that are killing Talibans? These people are going to come home one day, and I was just mentioning earlier, I don't know if everybody heard me, they're going to get a job at Walmart, Kmart, Jiffy Lube. What'd you do in the military? Well, I was overseas, I killed people, and I urinated on them.
That's so funny because tonight I was talking to my mother about the soldiers returning, because my daughter's in the Army, but that's neither here nor there. But the soldiers returning, and, you know, they're going to be suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, and they're not going to have any good jobs to come home to. It'll be little jobs like what you're talking about. And the stresses of no money and the stresses of being a war veteran among family and everything else. Yeah, there's going to be, I feel bad. I really do, because we have pushed our military beyond our means.
And I want to tell you this.
You know, Bill, where were all these people when I was sitting in fucking Beirut under a building?
People didn't understand then. They didn't understand. Only now we're realizing the effects upon our sons and daughters coming home. We're affected on the economy, how it's affecting us. And again, where are these people going to get jobs? How are they going to take care of everybody? My brother
exactly.
and Mike Kennedy, my Kennedy's Custom Cycles, and Screwdriver can attest this because he's down helping us. We have guys that come from the VA. We got guys that are coming back from the young kids coming back. They come down my bike shop and hang out. If they were bikers before they went in, and they're not doing good adjustment by hanging out by the motorcycle shop, by being around the motorcycles, by being around osmosis, it's starting to reach out. Then after a while, they start talking. And then I see some of these vets talking to other vets. Finally, it's something they can talk about. Motorcycles. It was a safe issue for them before they went in. And even if they don't have a Harley now, it's something they can be relaxed with. We never had any fallback.
You know why they don't have their Harleys now, Bill? Because they weren't fucking paying them on time, and they lost their bikes. They repoed them.
Are you guys familiar with the PGA?
Patriot Guards?
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
Absolutely.
I did a big term paper on them because I have a couple of friends in Alabama. One is the captain down there to the area he's in. But there's another program. I mean, regardless that they escort, you know, a fallen soldier to his final resting place, they keep, you know, unwanteds away, and that's a totally different subject for another time. But, you know, a fantastic thing that they also do is when a military group is coming home upon a family's request, they'll show up and give them a big escort back to, you know, the base where they're going, et cetera, et cetera. And that's a great group of people right there. And you don't have to be military to get involved with the PGA, you know. That's another thing I like about it, because it's just, you know, people doing for our service people. You know, and that's a good thing. We need more positive things like that in the world today.
We have up in the Marsh Air Force Base, 100 miles more or less, Philip.
Yeah.
These American Legion riders and the PGA, the Patriot Group, they show up and they escort buses and buses full of Marines back here.
They take them up and they bring them back.
Yeah. And you know what? They village, it just, it makes you feel good. Because as Philip did say... Good.
I'm listening right now.
Nora's having technical difficulty right. That's coming through the airway.
No, that's not me.
That photo on Philip's wall.
That's
not me. Hold on. It's 480.
Who would you join us? 480? Who are you, please?
It's Jamie.
Jamie from Arizona.
Oh, Jamie from Arizona. Jamie, say hello, please, everybody.
Hey, Jamie.
Hello. Right now,
hi.
We have Nora in Chicago. We have Stacy, and we have Jamie in Arizona. And
I'm in Massachusetts.
Yeah, exactly.
And since I'm a Southie, South Boston boy, let's always talk about Massachusetts.
I love being a Massachusetts girl.
Talk an awful lot because we have American Legion. You are American Legion, right? Am I correct, Phil? Yes.
Yes.
And these guys tell me that nobody was there to say hello to them when they came back. However, they're there to offer the hand, and I think it's important. Also because of the fact that we have so many of our daughters coming back from overseas. When Philip and I go into the military, we're mostly all men.
Right.
We need to acknowledge the special work our women do, and I love the fact what they're doing there. And my guys are telling me that stand at the cemeteries, when those crazy Baptist missionaries or wherever they are, they're there.
Westboro Baptist Church, my friend. That's
well,
what they're called, the Westboro Baptist.
I would be there as an American. I would defend their right to protest 5 minutes after the family leaves the cemetery. But I swear to God, if I'm anywhere around and this family's trying to bury their son or daughter, these lunatics are outside the cemetery, as my one friend of the American Legion writer tells me, not in my watch. Those sons of bitches will not get in that cemetery. Let's give the family some closure. Now, saying that, you do have a right to protest. That's what America's all about.
Right, but Congress in the United States, because, like I said, I did some papers on this last semester at school, and I interviewed a couple of, you know, the PGA riders to get a full good analogy of exactly what they do. And like three of the riders that I talked to, what they said is their main concern, and their main concern only, is for the family. What they don't want is all the attraction going to those Westboro Baptist people that like to picket military funerals, because the more attention you give them, the more they're going to show up. So, you know, they got together with a couple of people in Congress, and they passed legislation that you have to be, I think it's like 1,000 feet away from the funeral procession, you know, if you tend to picket it, whatever. And once they're in a military cemetery, you cannot enter. You will be arrested if you go into the military cemetery and try to picket that funeral. So there's been some decent legislation passed against that. I would like to see more to just stop it altogether. You know, a person coming home in a casket is a person who gave their life for the benefit for, you know, you to be able to walk the streets or do whatever it is that you do, you know, because the government doesn't tell us everything that's going on, but obviously, you know, they're over there doing their job for a reason. And when someone gives their life for their country, you give them respect, and that's it, you know? That's the way I feel.
No, and I do want to point out again that even though I'm so much against these Baptists, I would support, endorse their right to protest. It's just the timing and the way they're doing it. Before we were going overseas, people asked me how I felt about this, and I said, I don't want us to go overseas to Iran, Iraq. I'm protesting the war every bit. Once we sent the first soldier over, I said, all right, I am no longer protesting the war. If we go to war again tomorrow, I will protest this. I don't want another son or daughter, no other American, fighting and dying overseas. But once we go over, I believe as an American, I owe my country and I owe my fellow soldiers the right to say I'm supporting you 100%. No matter what goes on, we're with you, and I wish all Americans would be like that.
Amen to that. I hear you on so many levels. Like I said, I have a daughter in the reserves, and she's civil affairs. And believe it or not, people think civil affairs is just kind of like sitting behind a desk and talking to people. And the thing is that her job entails she has to, once the higher-ups clear an area, she goes in and does like disaster assessment type deal and works with the people when the people are the most stressed out. They're most likely to hurt an individual, you know, because they're scared, they're confused, you know, whatever is going on at the time. So the job that she holds is, for a female, is a little bit on the nerve-wracking side, you know, but I'm proud that she's in the Army.
Yeah, it's like, you know, everybody's like up in arms, and Shirley made a good comment here. You can support the men without supporting the war.
Right.
That's right. I agree with that.
It's still our country. We have to defend our country. If we don't like the way things are going, get out there and vote. Vote our commander-in-chief out of a job if that's how you feel about it, you know. But once we're committed, we're committed.
Yeah, he's promising more hope and change.
I'm a member of the Republican Party. I am a hard-line Republican, but I don't think there's a chance in the world that the president next time is going to be anybody than Obama again. There is nobody in the Republican Party that I can look up to and say, yes, this man can do the job. So,
yeah, well, that rolls back to the conversation we were having the last radio show about people getting comfortable in their situations and just not wanting to change them.
Right.
No, there is something here. Now, maybe you girls can talk about it. I don't know. Maybe you can comment on this if you would. Mitt Romney.
Ah, fuck, here we go.
In case you don't know, his during the persecution of the Mormons, his grandfather left America and moved down to Chihuahua, Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Mitt Romney's father was born in Mexico, Chihuahua.
Right. Yep.
Now, during the bloody Mexican Revolution, Mitt Romney's family, Mexico, to come back to America, where Mitt Romney was born. Mitt Romney is an American. His father was Mexican. This is a fact. I don't care what anyone else talks about. Now, what I'm hearing, and I don't know if this is true or not, this is just what I'm hearing, that Mitt Romney's lieutenants have been meeting with the head of the Mormon Church to support him. If he gets elected to president, we're going to legalize polygamy for the Mormons, but for all religions. Do you think, what do you guys think about that? Do you think polygamy is okay to come back in?
My opinion is, you know, I believe in the constitution of family, and I believe that the children being raised today have enough stresses on their back with just society in general. And, I mean, I feel that having a bunch of wives and a bunch of kids is just no good for family values. But that's just my opinion. You know, I mean, it may work for some people, but I don't agree with it.
You must be talking to my wife because she's still mad at Bill Clinton for what he did. And I said, honey, you can have extra women here in the house to help those little chores around the house that you don't feel like doing, like laundry.
Before you started that conversation, did you take the bullets out of the gun?
Anyway, my wife told me that's never going to happen. Ever going to happen.
Did you take the bullets out of the gun?
You know, I'm trying to be helpful to my wife, give her extra help around the house. But, I'm just misunderstood.
Yeah. I don't know because, I mean, there's a couple of shows that have been on TV, and I've watched a few episodes, not all, and the wives get jealous of one another. If the husband's spending more time with one, less time with the other, you've got the alpha female who was the first wife, and you've got the new female that comes through the door, and I think very confusing mentally, emotionally. I don't know. I just don't agree with it.
What happened?
Anybody else want to comment on that? My wife told me it's not going to happen in my lifetime.
I knew. I thought we were talking about the. I thought we were talking about veterans, not Mormons.
I know. It just drifted out there. Jump back in. Jump any way you want.
Oh no! You guys are doing great. That's when you brought up the Mormons.
We're not against the Mormons. We're talking about openness to polygamy, which my wife said I'll never, ever get to experience
and,
in my
and
life.
And Shirley made the comment, Bill. That's
yes.
not our business.
Okay, wait. Do you guys remember last time I called in? I told you guys all I was Mormon, and I came from, like, the fourth wife of a Mormon polygamist.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah.
That's, yeah.
Yeah.
My wife must have been listening to the show because she said that we're not going to have any sister wives. So we're looking at Mitt Romney going out the door. He's not going to be elected. So what the hell?
There ain't really many alternatives after that one.
Well, Newt Gingrich is trying. I don't know if anybody's Republican out there.
He just
but
wants
myself.
He just wants three ways.
Newt Gingrich, and I did an interview with him for German television 15 years ago. I thought the man was phony, pretentious. I didn't feel comfortable. I don't know if there's other Republicans out there saying, well, you need to give them a better chance. You got to go with what you got and feeling. I don't feel comfortable. I will stay with the Republican Party. I will not split it up by going conservative or anything else, independent. I think it weakens us Republicans. However, we don't have anybody to run against Obama. And if we don't have somebody to run against Obama, we're going to be in war after war. Right now, if you don't know this, guys, we have troops in Africa.
Yep.
We have troops. Have you heard this in Australia?
Yeah, because my daughter, 4 months back, was told by her higher-ups that they were beginning to send troops down to Africa. And the reserve unit that she is from is designated, is designated AFRICON. And they go down there, you know, they deal with the stuff down there. But there was things that she couldn't tell me, obviously, for military purposes. But she said that things were not good down there neither at this moment in time. So, I mean, I'm not sure exactly what that means, but I don't think it means anything good.
They'll authorize our boys and girls to go to Africa. No one talked to me about it. I thought we had to have Congress, had a vote going to war and all that. Nobody in Africa has bothered me. No African country I know has got a fleet of ships to run over here and attack me on the West Coast. What are we doing in Africa? And what are we doing in Australia?
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. I say they're gonna be setting up prisoner of war camps.
Well, you know, they got that FEMA camp out on Pendletonville.
No, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, sir, you can see it from 5, behind all the new shit they built.
Oh, okay.
Been out there for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
They were using it as a town.
Hmm. Camp Pendleton's had a lot of interesting uses. I'm going to tell everybody quickly, I'm a second-generation Irishman. My family came over. We came to America when being a Catholic Irish was like the bottom of the barrel. My grandmother, who's passed away, kept flyers. And it would say, no Irish Catholic need apply. She kept a flyer from the KKK. The KKK is against, number one, Irish Catholic. Number two, niggers. My grandmother said, never forget, there was a time in this country, even black people were thought of better than the Irish. The Catholic Irish, that is. She made me promise that when the next generation of people, immigrants, came to this country, I'd be there to sure to help them. I was lucky enough when after Vietnam and all that, the boat people came overseas. I was working with the county, and I helped these people, these immigrants, come to America to appease a promise I made my grandmother. We sometimes forget in America we are all immigrants. This is what makes America great. But I don't want to be total isolationist, but I don't care about the whole world. It's like us sending rockets to the moon, Mars. I don't really care. I just want to know why we, this great, powerful country, we can't send money down to Tennessee, Kentucky, L.A. Why can't we help Americans? Is that too much to ask
for? Well, it's like Shirley says when they're to the Italians, Nixon said we stink when you...
Yeah. The only slight advantage Irish Americans had was coming to America. We spoke, it's kind of an Irish English. We could understand Americans, and we could talk thick accent and all that. So much better than Italians who didn't speak English, and the Polish and all the other, the Vietnamese people that came over after the war and all that. They had to learn English and all that. But still, everybody that comes to this shore, legally, I'm there to offer my hand to them and say, welcome to America. I do not believe I'm any better than any other immigrant that comes legally into this country. However, again, I don't care about the rest of the world. I know that sounds kind of narrow-minded of me. I just want to concentrate on making America better. Is that too much to ask? Why do we have women with children on the street without a place to stay? Why can't big cities open up warehouses for women with children to be safe? Why do we got to have this? Why do we have crazy people killing homeless people? America, this is not the America of my grandparents. This is my America. I want it to be better. And for God's sake, stop spending $1 trillion looking for life up Uranus. I don't care what goes on Uranus or Mars or any other damn place. This is America. Hey, anybody want to comment on that?
I have a question. Is anybody else having problems getting the chat room to load besides me?
I did in the beginning, and then it came through.
Yeah,
just try refreshing it.
I did that like 5 times. I'm going to log out and log back in.
Okay. Let's see. We got another caller, Bill, from Boston.
Oh, another Boston caller.
Yeah.
Man,
Boston,
we're on
you're
fire
in the air
tonight.
Yay, go Pats!
All right, go Patriots! Amen!
As they say in the old days, when in doubt, knock them out.
Here we
absolutely
go.
Absolutely.
Cousin, how are we doing tonight out there?
What's the
Pete,
topic?
You still there?
No.
Gino! Hey, how are we doing tonight, buddy?
Who are you looking for, Bill or Gino?
No.
Anybody. What the hell are we
doing? We're talking to you, Gino.
Gino, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'm here doing my thing. Picking up my mother at bingo.
I'm here too, bro.
Hey, there we go. It's my other cousin.
How many bikers pick your mother up at bingo? Mother's 87. She still goes to bingos trying to get me to go. What's the topic today?
So we're talking about the military, kind of a little bit here, worried about, you know, like the stuff, these young troops that were urinating on the Taliban. Well, we're making such a big deal out of this one. My concern is these 17, 18-year-old kids, we're blaming them for urinating on the Taliban when I'm concerned about these 17, 18-year-old kids are killing people. Now, when they come home from the war, what are they going to put in a resume? Yeah, well, I killed people. That's a great job life.
Mostly if you're in the military, you want to do more than 2 years. I mean, if you do 10 or 20 years, that's a good pension.
Yeah.
You got to look at what some people are thinking. We don't have the draft no more. Remember that. So they're all volunteers. What they did, though, is really stupid to get it filmed. You know, I mean, to film it is really the dumbest thing you could do. I mean, I'm not against it. I just, some people ain't thinking.
No, you're right. You're right. That was one thing. The fact that they showcased it to the world, that was stupidity.
It makes us look like, monkey see, monkey do. You know what I mean?
Personally, I don't care about the terrorists, their feelings and all that, because I thought what they did to the Black Hawk Down pilots, dragging them to the street, I think what they did to Americans is despicable. The fact that these young kids were dumb enough to do something, that's all it is. Slap on the wrist, let it go. And as far as the Arab world doesn't like it. I don't care.
If you have a lot of support from the people, nothing's really going to happen. They're going to put it under the rug. If someone they pay for it, though, you know, they always throw one in. One's always under the rug.
One lesson I learned when I was in the military and I was in Tehran, Iran, they told me, Bill, we really like you. We take you to our weddings. We take you to the parties. You come into our homes. But, Bill, please remember always, you're not Muslim. You're a Christian. No matter how much we like you, if our cousin turns on you, our cousin that we can't stand, we'll have to back that Muslim up. Please remember that. And I don't think America can understand that. we have Christians over there in a Muslim country. They don't want us there. If we can put a Muslim regiment together, let's send the Muslim Americans over there. But I'm telling you right now, as long as we are Christians in those countries, they will hate us. They will always hate us, guys.
That's because somebody told them that.
Yep.
I started with the True Saints. You know, there was a part in one movie called, you know, I was sad that he said the Muslim, that he told the Christian crusader, says, what do you want Jerusalem for? He says, no reason, just want it. There was no question. It was just to, because everybody wanted it. There was no.
It's a religious place. It's in your head. If you think it's valuable, it's valuable. It's not a piece of gold. It's not a piece of silver. You think this is a holy land? That's all it is. You think it's a holy land.
It's a place where every religion, too, is. You know, it's a small country with Jews, Christians, and Muslims. The Muslims do it. You got to understand, too, the Palestine, the Philistines, that's Palestine. Palestine was given, the Romans gave the name Palestine. That was not Palestine. That was Jerusalem, Israel. That was part of the Israel God, long before it became Palestine. That's the Philistines. The Philistines are the ones who created all that.
Mm-hmm.
And the Roman Empire let them have it. Part of the, you know, that's why Palestine has been around centuries. But they're really the Philistines. They're not even, they're not, you know, there's so many Muslim, you know, it's not just the Islam. There's the Shiites, the name, just like Christians. We got Baptists, we got Assemblies of God, Catholics and stuff that. Muslims have the same thing. But if you look at where it started with Abraham. Abraham's the father of all nations. That makes Ismail, if you want to really get a Muslim pissed off, I told you, Ismail is half Jewish. Abraham is the father.
Point, point. You know, we got Jamie on the phone here. Jamie, tell us what happened at the VA today. Did I hear some story about the VA, Jamie?
Oh, no. I took my boyfriend to the VA because I dropped him off of a cliff, and we thought he broke his ankle. So we took him down to the VA hospital. And we didn't have a long wait or anything, but when we got back there, the doctor finally showed up, and he said he was the only physician for the hospital. And that includes a assisted living facility to be the only physician. At night. Like, that's a problem.
Can you tell us which VA that is, please?
In Phoenix.
Okay.
I mean, I've worked at Banner Hospitals where they've had two emergency room physicians on. They've had, for each floor, they've had their own physicians. But to go to the VA and have a physician say he is the only physician for the whole hospital, that's why it took so long, and that's a problem.
Yeah.
Philip and I do a lot of work at the VA, but
and
I'm very lucky.
And that VA hospital covers different states. It doesn't just cover Arizona. So these VAs that are in, these veterans in different states, are required to come to Arizona for treatment.
Well.
That's crap.
Yeah. I'm a vet, and Philip's a vet, and you don't use the VA, do you? Use your own?
Once in a while.
Okay. I remember coming home in early 1971, and the VAs were just disgusting. There were so many people in the hallways that they weren't prepared for the onslaught of the people come back from Vietnam.
No.
I have tried to work with the VA, but I have my own insurance. I've never gone to a VA. I'm thinking maybe if I can not go in, it'll help somebody else out. That's the reason I don't do it, though. But the VA has been under every type of, every time I turn around, they're being investigated by Congress, misappropriation of funds. I'm hearing about this part or this part or this head of the VA. What the hell's wrong with these people? These people are supposed to take care of our sons and daughters coming home and need help. I've never
it's
been
happy. It's a hurry up and wait game. It's ridiculous.
Should they take care of the illegal aliens better than they do the veterans?
That's
yeah,
so true.
No, You don't even have to have it. You just tell them you're an illegal alien, and they'll give you all the medicine you want, give you all the thing, anything. I've seen it. It was sickening.
Yeah.
I don't understand how they can lose so much money. Philip, we have a new veteran center in downtown Oceanside, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
How long has it been sitting there, not opened up? 2 years, maybe? Is that too
long?
Yeah,
2 years.
Major, giant building. Beautiful. For 2 years now, we've been waiting for the grand opening because they can't finish it up. They spend millions of dollars on this building. It's not opened up. So we do some veterans programs, so I contacted the city. I said, I'd like to have all these vets come in. Could we at least tour this big, beautiful building? No. We don't have insurance on it to allow you to go and see this building. So every day I have to drive by this beautiful building, home to the Veterans Administration, and we can't even go inside. Nobody can go inside. The building is still empty. How the
Probably
hell can
turn
you
it
put
into a police.
Miles in a building? It's empty.
Watch it. Sooner or later, they're going to turn it into a police station, put jail bars around it.
Well, I got news for you, Gino. It used to be a police station.
It used to be the police station.
It used to be the police station.
That's why I look every time I go by it. I'm still checking it out. They shut it down. They moved to a monster place.
They moved to the old Albertsons.
Our new police station is big.
Yeah.
But they renovated this whole building,
right.
And now they won't let the veterans move in it.
No.
I don't know. Another example of money wasted. If they did nothing else but open the veterans up for a place for veterans are homeless. We don't bring everybody in if you don't want. At least bring the homeless veterans in. But no. Beautiful building. Nobody's allowed inside it.
No.
How does this fit into life? I don't understand this. I don't know.
No. And the sad part is that nobody's... No. When people ask questions, oh, they got a plumbing problem.
Yeah.
The last one was something with the roof. With
yep.
The past.
Every time we there's so many examples of just waste, and I don't understand.
I'm telling you, they kept the shell, but they redid the whole outside and inside. They did the parking lot. They put the fence up. They put the signs in. Everything's there. Big sign on the side of the building.
Yep.
Actually, big silver letters.
Yeah.
North County Veterans Association. All that shit. Fucking building's empty.
They won't let us in the door.
Nope.
And yet when I hear stories about heads of different VAs, when they get caught with these their money in the cookie jar, they don't seem to fire these guys. They give them promotions, send them somewhere else. I don't get through that. All that noise over here, Philip.
I'm not sure. Someone's either in their kitchen or they're not sitting
still. No, that was me. Sorry.
The federal government, they're listening to you.
Well, Philip and I are going to do another funeral this weekend. Another one of our friends has passed away. It's going to be a celebration of life at Mount Soledad. It's a veterans memorial down in San Diego. We're going to go down there, and we're just going to try to say a few nice things. And pretty much the man's already dead, so this gives us, the living, a chance to hug each other and, you know, take an opportunity to say...
Yeah, because it's so... I mean, this guy was responsible for, in California, for look twice, motorcycles are everywhere on the Amber Alert signs. He was very instrumental in getting that done.
And what was so important to me is, and I got to say this, he cared for Yamaha, Kawasaki, Suzuki. He cared for all motorcycle
riders. As long
riders.
As you rode. He didn't care, as long as you rode.
All the work he did, he never won a nickel's worth of credit.
Right.
My ego is so damn big, I got to get credit for everything I do. But all the years I know this man... He was content to work hard, support the candidates, representatives. Sorry, folks. He wanted to make it a better world for motorcycle riders, and he finally passed away. I know he helped you and I with so much hours of research.
Yeah.
You know, so...
he was a guru at that shit.
We'll be up at this cemetery for another friend. Another one's gone, but, you know, it does get a little old at our age.
Yeah. Well, we got more friends in the cemetery, Bill, than we got living right now.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
You know, dying all means living forever, so believe me, gentlemen. If I'm religious, I just wanted you to know.
Good.
You know? Yeah, dying means living forever. We're in a whole different world. He's free. No more pain.
Yeah. And you're right. I don't feel bad when people die. And people thought something's wrong with me. What you just said is so important. Sorry for the rest of us that's still alive, but the person dead, they got no pain anymore, as you're saying. Essence, the spirit, the soul, whatever you want to call it, that's gone. The body, it's just that's what's going to deteriorate and all that. So when I hear people die, I've never felt that bad. I always thought truly they're going to a better place.
Yeah.
And if you say, well, I don't think there is a better place. Well, if there is no better place, they're still in no pain, no nothing. So, except it's okay.
It's,
I know my minister friends always
say. We're all coming back anyways.
We're coming back.
Coming back, and we're coming back in our human bodies as young men, so don't worry. Don't feel bad.
I don't want to come back. I don't want to come back.
Well, we got somebody that's got a comment on that, Bill.
Okay.
I think it's time to play that one.
Let's talk about our old friend George Carlin. What does he feel about religion? George, you out there?
George Carlin. He was great. I always liked him.
You're going to tell us about religion now, so don't be offending anybody, all right?
The
Bullshit
Department,
this man
handled
a candle, a clergyman. I got to tell you the truth, folks. When it comes to bullshit, big time, major league bullshit, you have to stand in awe. In awe of the all-time champion of false promises and exaggerated claims, religion. No contest. Religion easily has the greatest bullshit story ever told. Think about it. Religion has actually convinced people that there's an invisible man living in the sky who watches everything you do every minute of every day. And the invisible man has a special list of 10 things he does not want you to do. And if you do any of these 10 things, he has a special place full of fire and smoke and burning and torture and anguish where he will send you to live and suffer and burn and choke and scream and cry forever and ever till the end of time. But he loves you. And he needs money. He always needs money. He's all powerful, all perfect, all knowing, and all wise. Somehow, just can't handle money. He takes in billions of dollars, they pay no taxes, and they always need a little more. Now, you talk about a good bullshit story. Holy shit. I want you to know, when it comes to believing in God, I really tried. I really, really tried. I tried to believe that there is a God who created each of us in his own image and likeness, loves us very much, and keeps a close eye on things. I really tried to believe that, but I gotta tell you, the longer you live, the more you look around, the more you realize something is fucked up. Something is wrong here. War, disease, death, destruction, hunger, filth, poverty, torture, crime, corruption, and the icecapades. Something is definitely wrong. This is not good work. If this is the best God can do, I am not impressed. Results like these do not belong on the resume of a supreme being. This is the kind of shit you'd expect from an office temp with a bad attitude. This is between you and me. In between you and me, in any decently run universe, this guy would have been out on his all-powerful ass a long time ago. By the way, I say this guy because I firmly believe, looking at these results, that if there is a God, it has to be a man. No woman could or would ever fuck things up like this. If there is a God, if there is, I think most reasonable people might agree that he's at least incompetent and maybe, just maybe, doesn't explain a lot of these bad results. So rather than be just another mindless religious robot, mindlessly and aimlessly and blindly believing that all of this is in the hands of some spooky, incompetent father figure who doesn't give a shit, I decided to look around for something else to worship, something I could really count on. And immediately, I thought of the sun. Happened like that. Overnight, I became a sun worshiper. Well, not overnight. You can't see the sun at night. First thing the next morning, I became a sun worshiper. Several reasons. First of all, I can see the sun. Okay? Unlike some other gods I could mention, I can actually see the sun. I'm big on that. If I can see something, I don't know, kind of helps the credibility along, you know? So every day I can see the sun, and it gives me everything I need. Light, food, flowers in the park, reflections on the lake, an occasional skin cancer, but hey, at least there are no crucifixion on fire simply because they don't agree with us. Sun worship is fairly simple.
Man creates his own hell.
Please take that with a sense of humor and all that. We don't want anybody to stop changing their mind. I believe there is a God. I really do. I can appreciate humor, though.
A friend of mine, when he was dying, he says, "Oh, God, why always me?"
My girlfriend used to go, she believed in God. She believed in God. Every night she'd say, "Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God," several times a night.
Yeah.
Thank God somebody got that. I felt kind of bad.
Oh, no, you're a lover.
All right, he's going to finish up here.
No miracles, no pageantry, no one asks for money, there are no songs to learn, and we don't have a special building where we all gather once a week to compare clothing. And the best thing about the sun, it never tells me I'm unworthy. Doesn't tell me I'm a bad person who needs to be saved. Hadn't said an unkind word. Treats me fine. So, I worship the sun, but I don't pray to the sun. You know why? I wouldn't presume on a friendship. It's not polite. I often thought people treat God rather rudely, don't you? Asking trillions and trillions of prayers every day, asking and pleading and begging for favors, do this, give me that, I need a new car, I want a better job. And most of this praying takes place on a Sunday, his day off. Not nice. And it's no way to treat a friend. But people do pray, and they pray for a lot of different things. You know, your sister needs an operation on her crotch. Your brother was arrested for defecating in a mall. But most of all, you'd really like to fuck that hot little redhead down at the convenience store. You know, the one with the eye patch and the club foot. Do you pray for that? I think you'd have to. And I say, fine, pray for anything you want. Pray for anything. But what about the divine plan? Remember that? The divine plan. Long time ago, God made a divine plan. Gave it a lot of thought, decided it was a good plan, put it into practice. And for billions and billions of years, the divine plan has been doing just fine. Now you come along and pray for something. Well, suppose the thing you want isn't in God's divine plan. What do you want him to do? Change his plan? Just for you? Doesn't it seem a little arrogant? It's a divine plan. What's the use of being God if every rundown schmuck with a $2 prayer book can come along and fuck up your plan? And here's something else, another problem you might have. Suppose your prayers aren't answered. What do you say? Well, it's God's will. Thy will be done. Fine, but if it's God's will and he's going to do what he wants to anyway, why the fuck bother praying in the first place? Seems like a big waste of time to me. Couldn't you just skip the praying part and go right to his will? It's all very confusing. So to get around a lot of this, I decided to worship the sun. But, as I said, I don't pray to the sun. You know who I pray to? Joe Pesci. Joe Pesci. Two reasons. First of all, I think he's a good actor, okay? To me, that counts. Second, he looks like a guy who can get things done. Joe Pesci doesn't fuck around. In fact, Joe Pesci came through on a couple of things that God was having trouble with. For years, I asked God to do something about my noisy neighbor with the barking dog. He straightened that cocksucker out with one visit. It's amazing what you can accomplish with a simple baseball bat. So I've been praying to Joe for about a year now, and I noticed something. I noticed that all the prayers I used to offer to God and all the prayers I now offer to Joe Pesci are being answered at about the same 50% rate. Half the time I get what I want, half the time I don't. Same as God, 50-50. Same as the four-leaf clover and the horseshoe, the wishing well and the rabbit's foot. Same as the mojo man. Same as the voodoo lady who tells you your fortune by squeezing the goat's testicles. It's all the same, 50-50. So just pick your superstition, sit back, make a wish, and enjoy yourself. And for those of you who look to the Bible for moral lessons and literary qualities, I'd like a couple of other stories for you. You might want to look at the Three Little Pigs. That's a good one. Has a nice, happy ending. I'm sure you'll like that. Then there's Little Red Riding Hood, although it does have that X-rated part where the big bad wolf actually eats the grandmother, which I didn't care for, by the way. And finally, I've often always drawn a great deal of moral comfort from Humpty Dumpty. The part I like the best, all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. That's because there is no Humpty Dumpty and there is no God. None, not one, no God, never was. In fact, I'm gonna put it this way. If there is a God, may he strike this audience dead. See, nothing happened. Nothing happened. Everybody's okay. All right? Tell you what. I'll raise the stakes a little bit. If there is a God, may he strike me dead. See, nothing happened. Oh, wait, got a little cramp in my leg. My balls hurt. Plus, I'm blind. Oh, now I'm okay again. Must have been Joe Pesci. God bless Joe Pesci. Thank you all very much. God bless you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right, here was one thing. I'll tell you right now, I do believe in God. I do want to point out something, though, that I've never prayed to God for anything in my life. I do want everybody here to listen to my voice to understand that I have prayed to God for extra strength to deal with a problem. I never ask anybody to take anything off my shoulders. I never ask for a nickel. I never ask God to give me anything. Give me the strength with it. I'll take it myself. That's how I believe about that.
Amen. Yeah. Go ahead. Hello. Go ahead. You were going to say something?
Great. You started talking about religion. We lost half our audience now. I hope you're happy, Philip.
Oh, no. You didn't lose me.
Oh, good. Okay, then.
Man is the problem. Listening to men. Listening to the wrong people. That's how wars begin, because they listen to somebody bullshit. Man created wars. Man created everything.
Sure, the name of religion.
You know what? I would always look at it this way. God is going to do whatever. And God still control, because first of all, we're like prospecting for the Lord. Put it that way. That's what it is. You know, either you do or you don't. It's a simple thing. You know, it's people. They create all the problems.
I have a lot of feedback from your way, buddy.
Yeah.
Better now. Gino, do you, without embarrassing you, do you pray to God for money, for riches, for wealth, or what do you pray to your God for?
I pray for people to understand that there is another way, there is that light, there is that beyond. We're going to see everybody in the end. God ain't sending nobody to hell. Cause that ain't
Gino, there's a lot of people I don't want to see again. Do I really got to see everybody again?
Oh, yeah, you will. And we're all going to look good. We're going to have our hair. You know, you can go on your hair. We won't have to worry about false teeth or nothing like that. We're going to be in. There'll be no pain.
Hey, Gino. Seems like you're very wide awake tonight. Why is that?
Why am I wide awake? I took a perk.
Ah, there you go. At least he's honest.
What's wrong with that? I have a lot of pain. You know what? I had an operation. I had three rods in my back. This friend of mine who died last week, God bless, he was a good man. He weighed 400 pounds. He died of diabetes. He fell. And I had to pick him up, and it moved the rods. I got operated on August, and I'm supposed to wait a year. And the rod moved and hit the nerves. So all my nerves are all screwed. But I don't do it every day. I wait 3 days. I go through the pain for 3 days, and then I take a perk.
Well, we were waiting for you to come by, but you never showed up, bro. What's up with that?
Why? Am I going somewhere tomorrow? You got enough, don't you? You okay?
No, what are you talking about? You were supposed to come by and visit me and Paul.
Oh, no, you told me you were going...
No, what it was, bro? You're out with the bitches again.
I wish.
65-year-old man has about 100 girlfriends.
I do not.
And you sound like a hater.
Hey, hate the game. Don't hate the player, all right?
Yeah.
You know what? You know what, Phil? I hooked him up with all these chicks.
Yeah, hey, listen, on the internet, they're all your girlfriends.
Yeah.
But you know what? The whole problem is, you know, I'm sitting here alone. So there goes the girlfriend problem.
Hey, I'm sitting here with Philip.
Hey, I've had three good wives, you know, so I can't complain. God's been good.
Don't forget that tattoo appointment you made for tomorrow night at 7:00 at Papa Rob's Tattoo Emporium, Gino. He drew out your Seed of Abraham tattoo that you want on your chest. So don't forget.
Okay.
For what it's worth.
What you
get that on your Gino?
What? Hello?
You gonna get that tattoo on your chest, did you say?
Seed of Abraham.
The guy's got more tattoos on him on himself from what, 7 or 8 clubs that you've been in, Gino?
Well, I got Rose on my chest too.
Who gives a shit about her? Anyway, I'll just listen. You guys bat it out. Phil knows I don't feel good. So
hope you feel better.
I thought you
were
going back down to the Rob's place.
I gave him a ride home, bro. We have a snowstorm here right now, Phil. Bill.
That is wow. Raining out here.
I don't even have a jacket on tonight. I got my Dickies long sleeve black shirt on.
Cool.
Lucky you, man. We got a snowstorm here.
God almighty. Pack up your stuff. I told you that last time.
Bill, I'm coming, bro. I'm coming.
Yeah.
My brother and I are buying an RV. This is true. In the spring, Paul and I are buying an RV. We're going to put the dogs in there with us. We're going to load up on food, and we're going west. And we're gonna,
there you go.
Yeah.
I got news for you. Don't pack more than 14 days of food, or you're going to get arrested for being a terrorist.
Hey, you serious, man?
I got a friend of mine in Texas who wants to sell his house and land, if anybody's interested.
Fuck Texas. There's too many banditos.
Too
much desert.
We got a chapter in Seed of Abraham in Texas. Good people. Good riders. But this is more east of Texas. He's like in the desert. He can't get rid of it. 30 acres.
Gino, you have any chapters in California?
We were putting one up. We just got one in New Mexico. We're getting close. We had some in Arizona. And still working on that. But we're North Carolina, South Carolina, Indiana, Kentucky, Wisconsin, you know, Minnesota. New Zealand. New Zealand's pretty good. They're good people in New Zealand. And our whole thing is to just serve and help. And, you know, I feed the homeless every Saturday I feed the homeless. With a, believe it or not, with a cop.
Hey, you got, we got a news flash. Go ahead, Bill.
We're talking about the military. The Los Angeles Police Department to conduct more dramatic helicopter maneuvers over downtown L.A.
So it begins.
Now, if you guys aren't used to helicopters, we got goddamn helicopters everywhere.
We
everywhere
don't.
We get helicopters. All night
Fine.
Long.
We don't have helicopters out here. The only
right over your head at times.
No, they're called drones.
Why do they have that?
Los Angeles.
They're assisting the.
In fact,
ground
we got a little video with this. Let me cut to it right now. This is a news flash because in Los Angeles, the military helicopters will be flying high and dipping low above the skies of Los Angeles Thursday as part of a special operations training program. The Black Hawk hovered over the U.S. Bank building before it made a practice drop off in a nearby park. At one point, our camera.
Now we got the military working with civilian police. That's great.
At one point, our cameras captured a soldier sitting with his legs dangling inside a chopper. Throughout the exercise, the five rotorcrafts were staged at Dodger Stadium. The LAPD says the purpose of the training is in part to ensure the military's ability to operate in urban environments. Here we go, Bill.
Urban environments, that's us.
They do a lot of mock-up training, but it's always best to get the closest terrain layout to what the objective is. Yeah, here we go. We got a little video on that. Let's see what they got to say.
Our top story on CBS 2 News. If you see a group of military helicopters flying high and dipping low in the skies above downtown L.A. later today, do not panic. CBS 2's Kirk Hawkins is live in downtown L.A. with a look at last night's special ops training maneuvers. This video you'll see only right here on CBS 2. Kirk.
Hey, Sevilla, good morning. We know that the downtown skyline here is popular for Hollywood film crews, but now we know that members of the military are using it to prepare for conflicts around the world. I'm going to step out of the way and give you a close-up look at the U.S. Bank Building from where we are. In a second, we're going to give you an up-close and personal look at what it looks like from high above there, because that was just one of the many training sites that the military has been using over the past few days. In this video from Sky 2 last night, you can see dramatic military maneuvers by special operations forces over the sky of downtown L.A. Our camera captured a Black Hawk helicopter and four other so-called OH-6s flying over the city. The Black Hawk hovered over the U.S. Bank Building before it made a practice drop-off at a nearby park. At one point, our camera captured a soldier sitting with his legs dangling outside the chopper. We talked to one expert who said all this training probably was a dry run for a future mission.
But it's always best to get the closest terrain layout to what the objective is, whatever it could be, again, worldwide.
The LAPD won't reveal the exact details of the training exercises, but they say they're assisting the military as they focus on urban environments. The training is expected to continue again tonight. Live in downtown L.A., Kirk Hawkins, CBS 2 News.
Looks like something to see. Kirk, thanks so much.
Boys and girls, it's in our town today. It'll be in your town
tomorrow. This is what happens here, happens there.
Unbelievable.
Excuse me.
You know, I want to mention quickly, everybody, we had a little boy in the next town down that's dying.
Hang on. Jamie has to leave, Bill.
Jamie's going to leave.
We just want to say why
she's going to leave. Why?
Because it's time for bed.
She's got to go now?
Yeah, well, you guys jumped on my topic. I was all about the VA and all that crap. But you guys jumped topic. You showed video on the radio. And I was just like, okay, I got to go to bed now.
Okay, let me tell you something real quick.
And I'm ready for my purple marker.
Okay, I'll tell you real quickly. We had a guy, a little kid, didn't make a wish, and he lived in Carlsbad, next town down. He asked, hopefully, before he died, maybe possibly a couple of thousand bikers. This was last weekend. Maybe a couple of thousand motorcycles could show up because he never would be able to make Sturgis. This went out to all these different states. And how many people showed up?
3,569.
3,569 people drove in front of this kid's house.
Took four hours.
People came from different states all over just to reach out and help somebody. So every now and then when you think that, hey, America, the whole human race sucks. There's still good people out there. And with that, I'll let you go to bed. Okay, girl?
All right. Good night, guys.
Good night. See that? You know why she's not happy with the program? Because of your subject, she said. Gino, did you hear that, Pete? Hear about that Make-A-Wish program? Uh-oh, we lost them too?
Oh, they're there.
Oh,
we have it in Boston. They do have a Make-A-Wish program.
What do you think about that Make-A-Wish program? All those thousands of people come right drive by this kid's front door. And it just makes you feel good about being American again, doesn't it?
Yeah, I believe in the American way. It's sad that people are starting to, it's just bog mighty, we'll put it.
Yeah, it is.
Because you know what? Our grandfathers came from other countries and worked here and sweated, and our forefathers brought what we hope was that freedom to be who we are, you know?
Yeah.
We just have to hope for the best in the future. And until people start standing together, it's just never going to make it.
No, it's not.
We don't.
You can get 10 people, and 9 out of 10 are going to say they'll be there, and then they don't show up.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I've ever had a good. One good thing about, I have to say, about bikers, the bikers I know, when they say something, they do it.
Exactly.
And that's it. I mean, and they don't come down, and they don't care what religion you are or how you, they believe in your word. If your word is, and you're strong, you get the truth, you got honor among yourself, it has nothing to do with religion. And that's,
you know, to give respect, you got to get respect. And I'm telling you for a fact that bikers know who they can respect and who they can trust. And they also know who they can't trust. I've got a circle of friends I believe that would do everything in their power to assist me, and I know some people that I want nothing to do with at all because I can't respect them. I can't trust them.
No.
That's how I feel. I'm not enough of a person. I think, I love everybody. Bullshit. There's some trash out there I don't want around me. I don't want around my motorcycle. But there are good people, too, and I really try to focus on that.
Yeah.
Nora, are you still with us?
I'm still here.
Okay. Are we jumping all around too many subjects tonight, Nora?
Well, no. I was just listening to you guys and wasn't sure when to jump in, so I just figured, I'll just wait.
Anytime you want, Nora, because let me tell you something. Like right now, I'm talking, and when I'm talking, Screwdriver's going to talk. I'm tired of listening to him, Nora. Believe me, I want to hear your voice.
Okay.
I want to hear what you have to say. I've been
okay.
listening to for a long time.
Okay. How about if we talk about, can police officers enter a home without a warrant?
No, they can't.
Or why do police touch a taillight when they pull you over? I have good ideas. Well, the help of Phil.
I have the answer for that.
Go ahead.
The answer I heard was when they video record a traffic stop, some police departments have video recorders.
Yes.
They tap the back of the vehicle to basically identify themselves as stupid as it sounds, it's true, as stopping the vehicle and that, it's them and that that the camera is rolling. So that's what that's all about.
But they're leaving their fingerprint.
What, the cops?
Yes.
No.
It's a video recorder.
Whenever you see that, it's a video cam. It's a camcorder on the dashboard. They videotape the stop. They touch the vehicle to basically say, it's me. I'm stopping this vehicle. Camera's rolling, basically. That's what it is.
Right, but they also leave a fingerprint.
No, it has nothing to do with fingerprints.
Oh, okay.
has nothing to do with fingerprints. They're not going to fingerprint a car for a traffic stop. It was a big question of mine, too, when I checked into it. You know, there could be more to it. I don't know, but that's what I heard. So that's what I read.
Right. Okay.
By the way, hello, Nora. How are you this evening?
Hi, Peter. I'm fine. How are you? I hope you're feeling better.
Thank you. I've been in bed all day, most of the day, but thank you very much.
I'm sorry.
Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Tell Paul I said hi and give him, just tell him hugs for me.
Will do. He was asking for you a few times.
He's not feeling good either,
so he ran out of his medication. Yeah. But, hey, we're still alive, and we thank God for that, so.
I know. I can call tomorrow if you like. Just let me know.
Yeah, call us anytime. You know that.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
I know you do, and so do I. In regards for police searching without a warrant, there are limitations to that.
There's a good video on YouTube, and I put it on my page, and it disappeared for some reason. And there's a guy that teaches a class. He's a professor, and he teaches his criminal justice people the best things to do if you get stopped by the police. The police have to get your consent to search your vehicle. Phil will back me up in this one.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot just search your vehicle. You have to give them consent. You can say no. Bottom line.
She asked if they can enter your home without a warrant.
Your home. No, bullshit. Bullshit. They need a warrant to search your house as well.
Here, let's this. If a law enforcement officer suspects criminal activity or contraband in a particular location, and can prove. Somebody just sent Bill a message to loosen up.
Bill,
I can't get no more laid back, I think.
At a particular location.
It's a full moon tonight, so.
Yeah.
All right, here, let me get into this, because this is a good one. Law enforcement officer suspects a criminal activity or contraband at a particular location and can prove probable cause, the judge can issue a search warrant. A search warrant is a court order that allows the police to search a specified location for suspicious.
I hate that word.
I hate that word.
I hate that damn word.
Object for a duration of time. The unreasonable search, the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution, protects citizens from unreasonable searches and seizures by law enforcement. The amendment requires search and arrest warrants to be sanctioned by a judge and supported by probable cause. Exceptions are, one, officers can search homes without warrants if the homeowner or renter willingly consents without coercion or deception. An officer rightfully on someone's property can legally search his vehicle if he sees contraband or visible evidence of a crime.
Like through the window, you can see, yes.
Yeah. All officers already arresting someone in their home can search to prevent the destruction of evidence or for fear of weapons or accomplices. Officers can search in time-restricted situations where the process of obtaining a valid warrant could compromise public welfare or potential evidence.
Bullshit. It could be a violent scene going on site there. Let's also talk about the owner/renter of the property has the right to read the warrant or have it read to them if they don't have their glasses on.
So in other words,
they also have a right to request an explanation for the reason of the search. That's what's so important.
But they can't just come in.
No. If they see an illegal act through the window, like somebody's holding a gun on somebody,
mm-hmm.
then they can come in. But they have to state what the illegal act is.
Okay.
All right, here. I got one for you. Let me get to it. This one says, Bill, what to do if the police search without a warrant? Go for it.
Oops, I lost everything. Oh, here we go now. The police have certain rights to search you, your vehicle, and your home under suspicion of criminal wrongdoing. On occasion, authorities will be required to have a warrant before a search. Knowing whether an officer is required to have a warrant and what to do if an illegal search is a basic right. When a warrant is required. In certain cases, a police officer does not need a warrant to search. A warrant is a document signed by a judge that allows police to search for certain objects in a definite location during a specific time. A police officer must submit information about the case they have built against an individual and why the warrant is pertinent to the case. Officers can only search the place specified in the warrant to be specified materials. So they got to state the reason what they're looking for inside the house.
Right.
If the police do happen to come across other contraband in the search,
it's inadmissible.
They are free to seize the materials.
They can take it, but
they can't charge you.
They can take it, but they can't use it.
I got stopped up in Big Bear, and they went through my saddlebags. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm looking for guns and drugs. I said, you can't do that. It's illegal cease and seizure. And he said to me, you're right. If I find anything illegal, I'm going to take it down the station. You can come down the station and claim your drugs. And I went, oh, Jesus. No, I guess not. So they do something overstep, but what the hell?
They have tried that because I had told this to Phil before. When my brother was alive, he was out and about, hanging out in a bar, picked up a woman, and they partied and stuff. And then she claimed later on that I didn't get into full detail with Phil, but you know, she claimed that he stole money from her, you know, from her purse, which that didn't take place. The police show up here at my home to, you know, come for my brother. I made them wait on the porch. You know, I said, you're staying here, you know. And I got my brother, and, you know, they took him in. He went outside of the home. He, you know, he went in with them. They were trying to come back to tow his car. They wanted to search it. And it was right out in the driveway, and I came out and I said, oh no, you cannot touch that car. That car is on private property. Where do you think you're going with it? It's not leaving here, period. And they left. I was shocked.
If it was criminal, they would have gone back and got a warrant, but they didn't have enough case for that. That's what that was all about. However, they can intimidate you. They can mislead you. And once you say, well, okay, you just told them it's okay to do it.
Right.
Stop shooting yourself in the foot, boys and girls. Just say no.
Well, no. Like I said, I just stood firm. I said, you're on
private
property.
You told them no, exactly.
Right. Get the tow truck and get your squad and get out of here. You're not taking.
Let me tell you what to do. If an officer is at your door, and they warn that they may enter on a warrantless arrest, allow the officers to enter. To resist can cause you injury and possible added resistance to your arrest. You know, I never understood that. I've never been, you know, I'm not arrested, and yet I'm kind of like beat up. I haven't figured that one out like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, see an attorney is a right you cannot be refused. If the arrest should have been accomplished by a warrant, then you got a little more fight. You can fight in court, though. If your car has been searched, you cannot fight on the ground that a warrant was not issued, as traffic stops do not require a warrant. That's the big deal. A traffic stop, they can check inside. Don't open the trunk up, boys and girls. In any situation where you believe an officer is overstepping their boundaries,
and then a lawyer. And then don't be a genius and try and hide the keys, because they'll take your little key fob, and everybody's little key fob for the alarm has the trunk opener on it.
Now, let's make it simple. You're going out in your car. Don't bring anything illegal. Let's just talk real basic. Don't bring anything illegal out with you in your car. There we go. Solve that problem, right?
Right.
Leave it in your own home, for God's sakes. Why do friends of ours get caught on some stupid, well, I had a joint in my car. Well, what is your problem? Are you stupid?
Exactly.
You had a joint in your car, and you picked up and they found the joint. Check your vehicle out. If you loaned it to an uncle, don't carry anything illegal.
That's like the guy riding through Texas. Got caught with the pot in the saddlebag.
Yeah.
But it was medical marijuana. He had the car from California, but not Texas, and they arrested him, remember?
That's a good friend of ours, yes. He had a medical marijuana card, and he just didn't pay attention. He thought, hey, it's good for all the states. Wrong. It's only good for California, and he got jacked up. They released him. Came back to California, turned around, went back, had to go to court, turned around. That was a lot of money. You just got to pay attention to where you are at all times. Don't do anything that's going to get you in trouble. Don't go out in public causing trouble, guys.
No.
It's just too damn, it costs too much money anymore. It's not like the old days when they say, you're a bad boy, don't do it again.
Yeah, exactly.
I can honestly remember.
That's an interesting topic, though, you know.
No, it's critical because the fact that most of us allow the police to do things And by doing it, they say, well, the person allowed me to do it, Your Honor.
Well, you know,
and now you got charges against you, and you instigate it by saying it's okay.
Well, you know.
No, just say no.
Yeah, it's just like this, Bill. These are your rights during a legal car search. The Constitution of the United States gives citizens certain inalienable rights, and the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution gives protection from illegal search and seizure. If you find yourself in the middle of an authorized police search or either your vehicle or your property, there are certain things you should and shouldn't do. State out loud that you are not giving permission for your vehicle to be searched repeatedly. Let me repeat that. Scream it out at the top of your fucking lungs.
Hopefully other people can hear that.
Exactly.
And use them as witnesses.
Exactly. State out loud that you are not giving permission for your vehicle to be searched. Police have recording equipment in their squad cars. And if you're locked in the back seat like a couple of our friends were, who got arrested for murder, and they were in the back seat screaming when they searched it and everything got tossed. Police have recording equipment in their squad cars, and if you state you are not giving your permission, and it will be on record that you denied the police officer's request to search your vehicle. It's important that you have it on record somewhere that you never gave your permission, because if the police do not have any other type of evidence to justify the search, then what they find during their illegal search will be inadmissible in a court. The other one is leave. Unless you are under arrest or the officer chooses to detain you, then you have the right to leave at any time. For instance, if you were stopped for a traffic ticket and the officer is giving you your ticket but wants to search your car, you may refuse and ask if you have the right to leave. If the officer isn't arresting you or detaining you, then you have the right to simply drive away under the law.
You have to ask him.
You
got to
ask him
first.
Don't drive away because you'll get a couple of shots through the window. You don't have to stay at the police officer's convenience unless he or she is legally compelling you to do so. The other one, Bill, is your two
Bill's favorite
words. Shut up. The right to remain silent is one of the most important rights you have in a search process. For instance, if you state you are not consenting to the search, then you should stop talking immediately thereafter. The less you say, the less can be used against you in a court of law. If you insult the officer or are belligerent, then you will appear hostile. This can provide the officer with additional suspicion and could lead to you being detained. So if the police are illegally searching your car, speak only when you have to. Otherwise, shut up.
Now, I want to say something here, please, and this is something I want to talk about you. You got to work on your facial expressions. You got the words down, but you still got my face. I'm impassive. I'm sitting here. Your face, you look like you want to tear him a new asshole. This is why this conflict goes on. You got to work on them. I'm your friend.
Yeah.
You got the words down. You're quiet, but the look on your face, you turn red, you get mad. I'm just pointing it out, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. All right.
Okay, go ahead. Take the last one.
Legal versus illegal. It's often hard to tell what a legal search is when you aren't sure. There are some instances in which a police search and seizure of items from your car without your permission or warrant is legit. Under the plain view document, this is it now, if they can search and seize an item visible through your car window, if you've got a gun in the seat, they can do it, for example.
Right.
If you're arrested, the police can search your car incident to arrest if it is determined that it's necessary for the officer's safety or preserving evidence. Police may, for example, a little marijuana, let's check the car for more marijuana.
It ain't even that. If you had a baggie in the car.
No.
You had a wrapper in the car.
Exactly.
You
right.
Had a
paraphernalia,
you
correct.
You had a gum wrapper laying on the floor.
Police may also detain you and wait for a search warrant if you decline to have your car searched. Decline it, say, I don't want it searched. If a police officer has probable cause to believe a crime has been committed, which can include nervousness on your part or the smell of marijuana. Nervousness on your part. Why are you nervous? You're an American citizen. You're driving on an American road. Do not give up your rights to these people here. If you are nervous or you can smell marijuana, he can legally search your vehicle. Again, it goes back to you make faces at him.
Yeah.
No, and I'm telling you this right there. That's why instead of the conversation ending shorter, we're there longer. Because you got red veins popping out of your head. Let it go. Let it go.
All right. The process is a law enforcement official, such as a police officer or an FBI agent, must have the probable cause to detain the warrant. The law enforcement official presents the case to the judge and must show there is adequate reason to justify a search. If the judge agrees, he or she signs the warrant to allow the search. Inadmissibility is when the officer does not adhere to the specifics of a search warrant
the evidence would be ruled admissible. If a police officer finds a kilo of cocaine, but the warrant specifies a search for a bloody knife, the cocaine, though illegal, will not be allowed as evidence.
But you won't get the cocaine back.
No, you won't get
it back.
I'm going
to tell you for a fact.
No.
You're not going to get charged.
There
go
are,
down to the police station. Try to claim it's your cocaine.
Right.
You'll have another damn charge on you.
And it's specific items. There are times when a search warrant allows for a search only of specific items or specific areas. For example, a search warrant might state that the only tool shed on the property may be searched and not the actual home. Another example is when a warrant specifies there's a search for a murder weapon, not any of the weapons or illegal items someone might have.
If you've been stabbed and you're looking for a knife, you can't take guns. Pretty basic, boys and girls.
It's just like the person whose property is being searched is not automatically entitled to be present during the search. If the police officers arrive at your home with a search warrant and you're not there, they still may search the property by law. The misconception is that some people are under the impression that if a police officer show up in your home, that you are under a legal obligation to open your door to them. The only time that a person must open the door to law enforcement officials is when being served a warrant or when there's an immediate danger. You don't have to open the door.
That's right.
If you're at the home of someone who has served a search warrant, the police officer have no right under law to search you as well. The only time an officer can search someone at the scene of the search but not named in the warrant is the individual looks suspicious and the officer believes to be probable that the person is hiding a weapon.
Now, one of the big bites I got against is if you're riding down the road, and you have a passenger in the back of your motorcycle, and it lights you up for speeding. Why are they detaining the passenger? I've tried to figure that over and over and over. I remember one time I said to the girl, I said, go and get a cup of coffee, and I'll be a few minutes. And the car said, she can't leave the scene. She's part of the investigation. She wasn't driving my motorcycle. She wasn't doing a damn thing but sitting in the back of my motorcycle. That's something I really don't understand. Why would you give up those rights for?
No. No. And it's just like the other one, Bill. Let's see. Here. There you go. This is where it's going to get a little tricky, Bill. Because the difference between a search warrant and an arrest warrant. In America, there are different ways that law enforcement will conduct searches or make arrests. To fully understand your rights, you must know the presence between a search warrant and an arrest warrant. A search warrant gives law enforcement the legal authority to search the property or a person suspected of committing a crime. Only evidence obtained during the search will be used to prosecute such persons for various criminal offenses.
And probable cause, let's talk about that for a second. In order to obtain a search warrant, law enforcement must first establish probable cause. This is where they submit evidence and affidavits supporting the belief that a crime is being committed in advance, with the search being necessary to undercover the evidence. If the judge agrees, and what judge is not going to agree to a cop? A search warrant is issued by the police. I'm sorry, he just scrolled over. I lost myself there again.
The considerations, there are some instances in which a search warrant is not required, such as for those areas which cannot be within a specific suspect's immediate control, the automobile, public areas, such as checkpoints or borders.
And let's talk about arrest warrants. The arrest warrant is when a warrant is issued for someone's arrest, because there's evidence to support the filing of criminal charges. This is an investigation they've done on you. This authorizes law enforcement to arrest and detain the individuals named in the warrant and the warrant only.
The affidavit for an arrest warrant to be issued, there must be either a sworn affidavit showing that a crime has been committed or it was discovered that a particular person or persons committed a crime.
This goes back to what I've said over and over and over. There's so much laws. Guys, I'm not telling everybody to stop taking drugs. I'm not telling everybody to stop taking alcohol. But I'm telling you, if you're messed up on drugs and alcohol, they're going to run right over your rights because you don't know how to protect yourself. There's use and abuse. I have never once told anybody, stop drugs, stop alcohol. I'll never say that in my life. But if you're going to be out there in the streets, up on drugs and alcohol, when they get you, they're going to override all of your rights because you're not thinking clearly.
Yep. I have a great... This is an incredible story. It's probably it's about 5 minutes long if you guys want to hear it. You're going to be blown away by this regarding an illegal search of a motor vehicle. If you want, I'll tell you.
Go ahead,
brother, yeah.
Okay. Several years ago, I don't endorse drug dealers. I think they're scumbags. But this guy, Spanish dude, he had a Lamborghini, he's a drug dealer, he had a Lamborghini. a Lamborghini, $250,000 car. He was a known drug dealer. He was going down the road, and he had like a broken taillight out of something, or one of his taillights were out, or his brake light was out. The police, knowing him as a drug dealer, initiated a traffic stop. They pulled him over, and he asked why he was being stopped, and they told him that he was being stopped because of the faulty taillight. They proceeded to, they had him get out of the vehicle. They searched him. They put him against the hood of his car. He's being pulled over for a traffic infraction, okay, a broken taillight. They proceed to rip his Lamborghini apart, and they find several kilos of cocaine in his Lamborghini, okay? And they charged him with it. Guess what? When he went to court, the judge threw it out because they were stopping him for a motor vehicle violation, a broken taillight. He did have several kilos of cocaine in the vehicle, but it didn't hold water because they illegally searched his Lamborghini, and he walked. He didn't get the drugs back, obviously, but he walked. And, you know, okay, like I said, you know, drug dealers to me are scumbags. You know, they should all be in prison, okay? But the guy made a good point. His lawyer said, this gentleman, well, we won't call him a gentleman. My client was stopped for a broken taillight. They pulled him over knowing that he's a known drug dealer. He's driving a $250,000 Lamborghini. They ripped his car apart for no reason, no reason at all, and they found all this cocaine hidden inside of his Lamborghini, and they charged him with it. He was looking at life. When it went to court, it got thrown out because the judge asked the officer, what did you stop him for? And the officer couldn't lie. He said, I stopped him because he had a broken taillight. Dismissed. So it's a good example of the bullshit that the police pull on people.
Exactly.
You know, he didn't get his drugs. Like I said, he didn't get his drugs back. But, you know, it was a great story because it, not that he was a drug dealer, like I said, but because he was stopped for a motor vehicle violation, and they went by, you know, they said, oh, this, you know, they stereotyped him. He's a drug dealer. You know, he's got a $250,000 car. Let's stop him for his broken taillight. And while we have him stopped, let's search his $250,000 Lamborghini, see what we can find. Well, they found, like, you know, a couple million dollars worth of cocaine. And they charged him with it. Well, it got tossed. He walked.
Yep.
And that's justice.
Yep.
Whether he's a drug dealer or not, that's justice. And that's the bullshit that the police pull, and they have to stop.
When I was a young man, they used to arrest me. No. They used to pick me up on a Saturday night, take me down for questioning, release me about 4 o'clock in the morning because the bars are closed. And I couldn't get my bike out till the next day. I was a very, very young man before I went in the military. I didn't know that this is the way the world was. I didn't realize that the police can't just pick me up. They never questioned me. I wasn't doing anything wrong. I'm a biker. I'm a young man. I'm going down the bars. So they pick me up for questioning, hold me until the bar is closed. That couldn't happen today because we have knowledge, we have intelligence on our parts.
So you're saying you were young and dumb?
I was young and dumb and you know what and blah, blah, blah and full of, you
you're
know.
You're so
and,
young.
Al, you're just about to look at my face. It's been a hard life. Phillip's the young-looking one here between us. I've had a hard life.
I've had one, too, but I don't look my age.
Child, I look a lot. Philip stays. You know why Philip hangs out with me? Because next to me, he looks young. That's the only reason we hang out together. I got the long gray hair. I got the long gray beard. And he's got that clean-shaven look about him. He looks young next to me.
Are you trying to tell him you look harmless?
Oh, you can trust me, little girl.
Little girl?
Ooh, I thought he'd be like a grizzly bear.
No. No, I have a nice, innocent look about me. I was in 7-Eleven today. I was told Philip earlier. I came outside, and this girl says, looked at me, and she goes, oh, Santa Claus, I've been a good girl. And I said, well, why don't you come over and sit in Santa Claus' knee, little girl, and tell me about it. She goes, oh, I want to run right over. Her boyfriend was right next to her. Said, get the F in the van right now, blah, blah, blah. Did it all. I got to thinking, you know, maybe she should have just done nut right in front of her boyfriend. But I took it as, you know, humor. But
Right.
It was my girlfriend, she'd be walking home, but that's a different story for me, you know. But no, I've got that you can trust me look.
I have that. I have that.
And I also have that part-time job as Dr. Love. And Dr. Love is waiting to hear what you have to say tonight.
Oh, so now we're doing a dating thing. Okay.
Dr. Love wants to hear what you have to say. Dr. Love's always here for you.
Hey, Bill, do we have to go back to the, what was it, the training bar conversations that we used to talk about?
I thought we were done with that.
Okay, we're done.
Training,
bro. You got a memory like an elephant, huh?
We're done with that, brother.
You guys talked about training bras?
We won't even get into it. It was a joke.
Forget about it.
It was too much involved. It was a joke. And
listen, who called in tonight? Any countries that I want to know about tonight?
No, they're listening all over.
No, I mean, who's listening in tonight? What country's listening in? You got a minute?
Yeah, Australia, Britain, Italy, Germany, France, Mexico.
Do we count Massachusetts as another country? Or
Australia. we got someone from Melbourne, and we got someone from Perth, I think.
Good. I'm hoping that 1980 FLH I bought today is on the way out of Indiana tonight. It's supposed to be in a truck heading out this way. All stock original guy had it since day one. That's going to be amazing.
Nice.
Well, the Indiana line.
As long as the paperwork's good and everything's good and most original stuff are there, we can do a good project with it.
Yeah.
That's cool. The Indiana line is in about 20 minutes from me.
Oh, okay.
See, someone said Bill's too modest.
I'm not.
Someone said Bill needs a girl with socks.
Yeah.
No.
Ideal than Bobby socks. There you go.
I'm just misunderstood. I just need the right woman to help me along,
Don't run from your feelings. Sorry.
Bill, why are you touching my leg? Stay on your side of the table. Stay on your own side there.
Don't even go there.
I mean, you know what that means? Oh, no, look at this. For you people tuning in for the first time, it's 7:45 and later. Phil takes all his clothes off, so for the rest of a few minutes, you have to sit there and I want you all to imagine Philip totally naked because that's what he is right now. He's on his side of the table, but for all the ladies out there, he's totally buck naked sitting there. That's sad.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Sad.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, don't even.
He's on his side of the table.
Okay, then I'm not saying what I'm wearing. Okay.
Well, we want to hear
it. We want to know.
Come on, Nora. Tank top and boxers.
Wow, that's hot.
Hey.
And boxers. They're wonderful.
Nice.
You know, I'm getting hungry.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that, too. Yeah. The way my mind works. I'm sorry, boys and girls. I skipped dinner, but now you've been thinking about yes, all right, then.
So what we're going to do, Bill, is we're gonna play one song, and it's called Good Day.
Good Day. I haven't heard that one before. Yes, I have heard this one.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on nature for the animal. They have the policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media and just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. Straight from Mike P.
Jump on your bike, let's hit the road.
Come on.
Fuck the 5-0, man, we out of control. Hey. I'm a bad motherfucker, riding through the night. A filthy motherfucker and I love to come on bike. Picture me rolling on my chopper on red. No love for the other side, don't need to be friends. Get the gas, homie, you gotta keep on pushing. Out and out, chin checks, so don't you need to ask for the ticket. Man, I ain't gonna pay. Rather do 30 30 days locked up in CJ. And twist the throttle, let's get the rolling. My drag pipe on my bike, get the blowin'. A third motherfucking street calling me. Like a mom calls the kids when it's time to eat. Don't approach me, homie, like the shit all good. I'm like half the motherfuckers that live in my hood. I'm a 10-year rolling to the bone. With 10 in the clip and 1 in the hole. Fuck what you heard, homie, I'ma always hit the bar. My homeboys might rubber, but we never ever fall. At the end of the day, we can always stand tall. The gov don't like me, yo, fucking well. I guess you can call me the ex from hell.
All right, good night, everybody.
Everybody know that song was picked up by Philip. I don't even know most of the damn words what they said. Good night, everybody. Thanks for being our friends.
Good night.
See you Tuesday.
Okay. Good night, guys.
Bye. Bye.